Tensions between the United States and its allies continue to mount after the latest release of secret memos. They revealed that the NSA has been monitoring a lot of phone calls internationally, including 35 world leaders.
Joining us to talk about the latest information and its impact on U.S. diplomatic ties is Jeremy Suri. He's Mack Brown Distinguished Professor for Global Leadership, History, and Public Policy at the University of Texas at Austin. Jeremy, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me on.
So the latest revelations are coming from another leaked Edward Snowden document. What does the document say about NSA spying?
Well, we don't know for certain because not all of the leaked documents are publicly available to everyone. Some have been leaked to newspapers and haven't been fully published. But what we do know is that the documents point to evidence that the NSA, the National Security Agency, was acquiring information that would only be available from private communications of foreign leaders.
Top departments have allegedly shared some 200 numbers, including 35 world leaders. Sounds like none of them were actually named. On the other hand, Germany seems like they've been pretty quick on the draw. They got in touch with the White House saying that they believe Angela Merkel was targeted. And Germany, of course, being one of our closest allies, how do you see this information affecting our relationship with Germany?
Well, it's already had an important short-term effect. It has led Angela Merkel and many Germans to question how close the relationship really is between the United States and Germany. Many people wonder whether this is a breach of trust and evidence that, despite the public public alliance, whether they're behind the scenes, there's much more American effort to act in distrustful ways. This is particularly traumatic for Germans, especially someone like Angela Merkel, who comes from what was East Germany, because of the experience they had with Stasi surveillance during the Cold War.
Now, there are some people who have been saying, you know, what's the big deal? Doesn't everyone spy on everyone? I know that we aren't, you know, in a difficult political situation. Germany is an ally. But is the problem here that the U.S. got busted, or is there something that is really politically damning about this?
Well, honestly, Veronica, that's the hardest part to understand in all of this. The truth is that all foreign leaders know that their allies as well as their adversaries try to acquire information about them. And it's a perfectly rational strategy. We want to understand what other countries are doing. We want to anticipate their behavior. We want to be able to be in a position to act with as much knowledge as possible. So foreign countries spy on us, including France and England and other allies of ours as well. So that's not new, as you said. The question is, does this go beyond what was the norm? And I tend to believe, though it's hard to really analyze this, but I tend to believe that post 9/11, we sort of took off all the brakes and really did everything we could to acquire as much information as possible from whomever in whichever ways possible. And we've probably crossed the line. I think the degree of surveillance of allies has increased, and that's what we're dealing with here.
Do you think, in terms of how the U.S. is thinking, the people who have, you know, driven the decision to spy on allies, what is the payoff that they're expecting to get?
Well, a number of things. First of all, even though Germany and France are allies, we have differences on a lot of issues. We have differences sometimes on how to deal with parts of the Middle East, how to deal with other parts of the world, and we want to anticipate and understand what they're doing. Second, especially in a world of terrorist interdiction, each country has its own laws about how it shares information about suspected terrorists on its territory, but they might have suspects on their territory who are people we're interested in, but they might not be sharing information with us. And this would be the justification that counter-terrorist intelligence would use for trying to understand the internal communications of law enforcement agents in Germany, for example, concerning potential terrorists who we might be interested in.
Is spying like this legal?
Yes, actually it is. There's no U.S. law that prohibits the National Security Agency or any spying agency from spying on foreigners. The laws we have protect Americans, and that's why the revelations weeks ago that continue to be in the news about the NSA and other organizations spying on American citizens, listening to our cell phone conversations, or at least acquiring data about those are more legally actionable. But there are no constitutional limitations on the use of intelligence for foreign policy purposes when it's with regard to foreign actors and foreign individuals.
Do you think that the outrage has anything to do with the technology involved, that it seems to be, you know, with the cooperation of the U.S.'s big tech companies as well. And because of this high technological aspect of it, it's become this sort of sweeping dragnet. And then if it were, different means, it might not be as offensive.
Maybe. I think the technology is a game changer, but it cuts in multiple directions. That's, again, what makes this such an interesting, complex, and frustrating issue, Veronica. The technology allows us to acquire more than we ever could before. Remember the days of rotary telephones. It was much harder to monitor those kinds of phones, much harder to acquire that data. It's much easier now to sweep things up, as you said. And we have mechanisms and technologies that allow us to analyze big data, to do word searches, to do searches for particular numbers, even to do voice recognition of different kinds. On the other hand, though, there's so much information. The amount of information each of us produces has multiplied so many times over. The paradox of this is I'm skeptical that all this information acquired, some of which maybe shouldn't have been acquired, I'm skeptical it actually has any use. Most people I know who work in intelligence say their big problem is they're overwhelmed. They have too much stuff. And that's what we realized with 9/11. With the attack on 9/11, there was a lot of information available, but the agencies were overwhelmed with all the information they had. So this cuts in many directions. I'm not sure we're seeing the Orwellian state, but we are seeing an erosion of certain assumptions about privacy that I think we all had 10 years ago that we have to question right now.
Do you think that other countries involved here, like France and Germany, maybe Brazil, have the capacity to return the favor?
They have the capacity up to a certain extent. They don't have the technological capability nor the resources to do this on the scale that we do it. But, of course, they wouldn't be interested in doing this on the scale that we do it. I don't think the Brazilians are as interested in surveillance in Europe as we are, for example. So we probably do more of it, but we also feel we have an interest in doing more of it. There is no doubt, however, that foreign countries, including Brazil, France, and Germany, as well as our adversaries, try to listen in on some degree of communication within the U.S. government, and that they're involved in cyber warfare just as our adversaries are involved in cyber warfare.
We're talking right now with Professor Jeremy Suri, talking about U.S. diplomacy in light of the latest NSA spying reports, and we'll be back with Professor Suri in just a bit.
We also want to hear what you think about all this. Do you think this news is going to damage the reputation, the credibility of the United States? Is this going to be an irreparable rift? Or is this just a necessary precaution that any government would take? We'll take your calls in just a minute at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can send an email, talk@WPR.org. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. We're continuing our discussion about the latest revelation that the NSA has been spying on world leaders. Jeremy Suri from the University of Texas at Austin is with us now.
And we want to hear from you. What do you think? 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. Did the United States blow it here, or was the only mistake getting caught? 800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@WPR.org.
Jeremy, I want to talk about the potential fallout here. Now, do you see this as being a major bump in the road for the United States on the world stage, or is this something that's just going to be a flap, it's going to be in the papers with ruffled feathers, and then we'll just move on quickly?
I think it contributes to a broader issue, which is the concern that many of our allies, particularly in Europe, but also in Latin America and elsewhere, have, that we've entered a moment in the United States where we only care about ourselves and not anyone else. And they put the evidence of our spying on allies in the same category as our playing with the debt ceiling and doing all kinds of things that affect so many other countries, but that we don't really seem to care about. There's a perception that we've become more callous than we were before. There's a perception that we're just concerned about ourselves, and that we're even more unilateral than we were in the days of President George W. Bush. And this fits in with that image. And that's a big problem for the United States. If we want our other countries, our friends, to help us when we're dealing with nuclear nonproliferation in the Middle East, help us with energy issues, help us with financial issues, we need to overcome this. And the president needs to do more about that.
Well, so let's say you're Barack Obama and someone faces you, maybe it's Angela Merkel, saying just what you said, that the U.S. is self-interested, it's narcissistic, it only cares about itself. What do you say to that? What kind of response would be appropriate here, do you think?
Well, he he has to show the President of the United States that he's doing everything he can to overcome that. And he could make a particular argument about that that some of us would agree with how he handled the most recent shutdown of the U.S. government. But I think he has to take other measures as well. He has to show that he's really taking control over what the intelligence establishment is doing. He has to show that he's reaching out to other countries. He has to show that we are not going to pursue the kinds of unilateral policies we have in the past. And he has to go out and start convincing the American public that this is important. That's really hard. But he's a second-term president. And even though this might not be popular, I think it's his job to educate the American public, and perhaps he could do more.
So he doesn't have the option of saying, you know what, we got caught, but this is important, this is about national security, and the U.S. remains, you know, despite its many challengers, the world's leading superpower, so this is appropriate action. Is that an option?
No, because that's the argument that's already on the table, Veronica. I mean, to some extent, Angela Merkel already bought into that when the original documents that were taken by Edward Snowden to eventually to Russia were released. She was one of the least critical of our American allies about these documents, even though they showed a great degree of American surveillance within Germany. We didn't know about the surveillance of her phone yet, but we knew about some of the other elements. And she made that argument, but now this seems to go a little farther. And her public is angry about this, and it is a traumatic issue for countries that lived under the Stasi regime and communist surveillance of every aspect of your life. They're very concerned about this. So I think the president has to show that he's empathetic and cares, and he can't just simply say we're bigger and better, and therefore we get to do this. That would reinforce, I think, the wrong image, Veronica.
Let's take a phone call now. We've got Eric on the line from Michigan. Hi, Eric.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing okay. What do you think?
Well, I just want to say, as a retired Pentagon intelligence career professional, that I think one of the things that gets overlooked in this whole issue is how the technology has kind of outstripped a lot of the policy making. We collect this stuff in some sense because we can, and a lot again is driven with the whole terrorism objective of countering that. But I guarantee you that then the deliberations as to in the risk management as to whether these are sensible, whether the benefit of doing some of these collections actually outstrips the risk and the embarrassment of these sort of political situations, I guarantee the time for those deliberations and the level at which they were decided was very likely to be insufficient.
Hmm. Thank you so much for that call, Eric. And Eric's echoing something I read in the New York Times article today, that a senior White House official saying, you know, or someone formerly associated, that we did it before we thought about whether we should. We just knew that we could, and we ran with it. I mean, do you wonder, Jeremy, how much intention there was behind the decision to do this?
Well, I mean, Eric's point is a very good one, and it's born of his own experience in the Pentagon, I'm sure, which is true of any large organization. People develop their own bureaucratic interests. Bureaucratic politics explains a lot. And people who work in surveillance, when they have new technologies, they want to use them. And as Eric said, it's absolutely true. We collect what we can collect because we know how to collect it, and new technologies allow us to collect more things. And that's part of the story. But I think what we have to grapple with as American citizens is that also after 9/11, we basically said as a society that we were going to take the gloves off and allow ourselves to do things that we wouldn't consider doing before, and we empowered intelligence agencies to cross lines they might not have crossed before. And so we made it even less likely that we'd sit down and ask the tough questions that Eric says we should ask. The bias has been even more so than ever before to collect what we can collect and to emphasize security over individual rights and privacy. And this is a consequence of that. And we need to grapple with that, I think.
Now, some countries are pushing for the U.S. to sign an agreement saying that they will not spy anymore. And I'm wondering what the odds are. You think the U.S. would sign something like that?
Probably not, and I don't think we should, because I think what we're in here is a space of judgment calls. We do have to use surveillance of adversaries as well as friends. We do have to know what's going on. Don't we all believe it's a good idea to monitor the Iranian nuclear program? Don't we all think it's a good idea that we knew in the 1960s that South Koreans were working on a nuclear project, even though they were our allies and they didn't tell us about that? So we need to do some of this. But we also need to recognize, just as Eric said, that there's a line you might cross where the cost exceeds the benefit. And we also need to recognize that trust is important and that our allies will understand we have to do some of this, just as we understand some of it has to happen within our society, too. that there has to be a line of integrity we don't cross. And I think we have crossed that, or at least the perception is that we've crossed that line. I don't think an agreement stops that. I think it's about our behavior and the way we talk about this that matters.
What do you see as the next move? Does it come from the White House or from somewhere else?
I think it's time for the President of the United States to come forward and explain what he sees as the legitimate use of surveillance and what's illegitimate right now, just as he's tried to talk about why we're ending our war in Afghanistan. We need to talk about why we might be at a moment now where we need to scale back some of the things we thought we had to do after 9/11 that we probably shouldn't be doing now, but that we still need to do certain things to maintain precaution. The public needs to know that there are things we're going to continue to do, but things that we can do but maybe should not do right now. And we should have a national conversation about that. I know it's so hard in this polarized environment we're in. And that's the cost of our polarization, that we're not having that conversation. And someone needs to kick that off. And I hope the president will at least try.
Got about 20 seconds, but if the president didn't know about it, does the buck still stop with him?
Absolutely. He's responsible for the intelligence agencies. From what I've read, there was a presidential order, perhaps signed by his predecessor, allowing this to happen. He is responsible for what the intelligence agencies do.
All right. Professor Suri, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
That was Jeremy Suri, Mac Brown, Distinguished Professor for Global Leadership, History, and Public Policy at the University of Texas at Austin.